either one, Sam? Are you using this mic or the lapel? All mic'd up. Sam, would you stand and pray for this service?
Lord, we thank you for letting us gather here so that we might hear your word. Ask that you might bless it. In my name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, you can turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5. We're going to try to take a look at what God commands the Christian to do and what the lost person cannot do. Inability. There's no way for a lost person to do it. We're going to see that, but we're also going to see that there's no excuse for the Christian to not do it. We're going to start in Galatians 5, verse 13. We're going to read through it. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Every single bit of it, all of it summed up with this. People wonder, man, I'm doing this right in my life. I tithe. I don't fornicate. I'm not a murderer. I don't have these problems. But if you want to know the entire context of the law, put all into one word is what Paul says. All into one word. It's even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you can love your neighbor as yourself, you're not a murderer. You're not a fornicator. You don't envy. You don't have heresies. That's just what the word of God says. It's all summed up in one word. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's pretty simple. Pretty impossible for some, but pretty simple for others. Pretty simple word of God that he commands us to do. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. There's no mixing of walking in the Spirit and living after the flesh, or for a lost person to live in the flesh. You see, a saved person's been circumcised out of the flesh with salvation, with what Christ did on the cross, been pulled out of the flesh, their life is with Christ, so they can't walk in the flesh, but they can walk after it. That's why Christ tells them to walk in the Spirit. But a lost person walks in the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. A lost person cannot have fruit in their life. A lost person does not have fruit and cannot have fruit. For the flesh, read again 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Hallelujah. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Speaking to saved people, that's an inheritance you can get. You're not going to inherit that if you have those works in your life. And I'll say it more than once here, if you have those works in your life, you are not walking after the Spirit, or in the Spirit, rather. You're not. They're contrary one to the other. If you see those in your life, you're not walking in the Spirit. It's that clear. There's no mixing the two. If you see that fruit in your life and you go, oh my goodness, I have adultery in my life, you're not walking in the Spirit. There's no mixing those two. If you have idolatry, if you have witchcraft, you envying one toward another, there is no walking in the Spirit in that. That's how clear the Word of God is. There's no mixing the two. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. These are the fruit of the Spirit. This is what happens if you're walking in the Spirit. This is what God gives. That's why God's been so good to us that he's given us this ability. Because before, it didn't happen. And it's all of God. I probably shouldn't say the word ability. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Does a lost person have that in their life? Do they have these fruits? No. The law is all summed up in one thing. Love thy neighbor as thyself. First thing Jesus Christ ever preached was repent and believe. Nothing you do is worth that. Nothing you do is going to attain anything or be any kind of righteousness. You're not going to have your righteousness set up before God before you get saved. Jesus Christ said, repent and believe. He said, repent and believe. You're only ever going to have these works of the flesh in your life if you're lost. That's the only works you're going to have. The only intent of a lost person, I'll say this, a lost person does not wind up in sin. A lost person doesn't just end up in sin and go, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I'm here in this mess of sin. A lost person's very intent is to be in sin. It's their only intent. It's their only desire is to be in sin. That's why God said he wants a lost person to see their sin as exceeding sinful. That's what the law's job is to do. It's your schoolmaster to bring you unto Christ. And so the law, that's the work that it's done in any person that's come to Christ. The law has worked in you such a mighty work that you saw your sin nature as exceeding sinful. You saw the fruits here, 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 here. And it just became such a weight on you that you realize there's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. I'll read through those things again. I'll read them one more time. These are the intents of the lost person's heart. There are no other intents. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. This is rough. This is rough. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's the fruit of a lost person's life. That's the works of a lost person's life. There's no mix. There's no mix of the two. You can't find fruit in a lost person's life. God's pretty clear about that. He says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's no way, there's no cleanness of a lost person's hands. That's a miracle of the cross. That's a miracle of what Jesus Christ did. That's a miracle of what the Psalms talk about, is that Jesus Christ had clean hands for us and we had no clean hands of ourselves. No mixing of the two. But let's continue down. Verse 25, to the saved person, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I said that before. Christ had the work done without hands. Christ circumcised the saved person out of this body, and he put their life in Christ. And so he puts a condition here. He says, if we live in the Spirit, if you do, and if indeed you do live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if you see the works of the flesh in your life, are you walking in the Spirit? No. The answer is no. You're not walking in the Spirit if you see the works of the flesh in your life. But if you see the fruits of Jesus Christ in your life, that's wonderful. But there's no mixing. There's not, man, I have a little bit of adultery in my life, and I have some joy. There's no mixing. That's not. That's a lie to yourself. That's your heart lying to yourself. The Bible says that your heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God tells you who can know it. God knows your heart. You see, God looketh upon the inward, but man looketh upon the outside. There's no mixing of them. There's no mixing of them. You don't have a little bit of the fruit of the Spirit and a little bit of the works of the flesh. You either have all works of the flesh or you have all fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It may not be such great magnitude to see it. You may not see such great magnitude of the fruit of the Spirit in a newly born again Christian. Amen and amen. But if a new born again Christian is really walking in the Spirit, you will see the fruit. That's a fact. If they're walking in the Spirit, you will see the fruit. But if they're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to see the fruit. All you're going to see is the works of the flesh. And in a lost person, you are never going to see the fruit. You will never see fruit in a lost person's life. So the Word of God says there's no mixing of the two. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know what the Bible says? Every time it talks about, usually right around, I believe it's every time it talks about renewing yourself in your mind and in your spirit and the renewing work of the Holy Ghost, it says, let us not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Oh. That's what the Bible says. It says, let us not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Lost person, you can't think lower of yourself than God does. That's a fact. You can't get of a lower opinion of yourself than God. God has such a low opinion of a lost person, God will put him in hell forever. God will put a lost person, it says exceeding terrors in the Psalms. God will give a lost person exceeding terrors forever and ever and ever and never take it away from that person. That's how low of opinion God has. But God has love. God has love. I was thinking of this morning. Some people aren't willing to go to work and maybe work one day. Like we worked yesterday, that Saturday, we hung some drywall. David, Sam, Peter, John, and I hung some drywall yesterday. We were willing to do some work. You know how we knew we were willing? We showed up. And that was great. But you know what God is willing to do? He's not willing that any should perish, but he is willing that all should come to repentance. So you think, man, God has a really low opinion of me. He sure does. He has a really low opinion of you, that he went and died on the cross. He did something about it. God had such a low opinion of the sinner, he did something about it. God did something about it for the sinner. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24. Jesus Christ has some pretty good things to say. Surprise, surprise. Some pretty good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 24. We're going to go here. We're going to look at what Jesus Christ thought of those two. It said in Galatians, it said they're contrary. In another place, we're going to see it says there's enmity between the two. That carnal mind is enmity against the spirit. There's no mixing of the two. I said it before. Maybe you don't believe it. I said it before, though. You cannot walk in the spirit and have the works of the flesh. And if you have the works of the flesh, it means you're walking after the flesh. Jesus Christ says it like this. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. In Luke, it says, no servant can love two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Do you despise Jesus Christ? That's a good question. Do you despise him? Word of God says you does. If you have the works of the flesh, you despise Jesus Christ. Oh, God, he's my Savior. Do you have the works of the flesh in your life? You despise him. Saved or lost, that's what the Word of God says. It says one man cannot serve two masters. He will either love the other or despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. You think there's a mix of the two? You think there's some kind of joining of the two? Like, my life is going to be a representation of my carnal works and also the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to come before God with this some great conglomerate of wickedness. And that's what God would see it as, is all wickedness. God doesn't bless carnality. God doesn't bless a carnal mind. That's what the Word of God says. Let's turn to Romans 6.
What did you say?
Romans chapter 6. I'll speak louder.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 11. Here's some good advice from Paul. More than advice, it's a commandment, but this is from Paul to the saved person. I'll say it's to the saved person. I'll start this chapter and just say, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, this is to the saved person. Well, let's look in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Indeed, dead indeed, rather, unto sin. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's something you need to reckon. That's something that a saved person must do. You must reckon that. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Either sin is reigning or the Spirit is reigning in your body. Again, there is no mixture of the two. You either have sin reigning in your body and you see the works of the flesh pop up all over your life. You can color code it. You can color code it and think, no, I don't really have the works of the flesh. I just strive. I don't have the works of the flesh. I just have a problem with envy and heresy and seditions. I was thinking of this. If you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to have problems with people. You're not going to be irritated by people all the time, because the Bible says people might find a problem with you, but you're not going to be having problems. But the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, for nothing shall offend them. You know, if somebody walked up to you and said something really egregious and that you're an awful, terrible person and it offended you, ta-da, thank them, because they showed you weren't walking in the Spirit. And you just go, oh, thank you so much for showing me that. You offended me and it really hurt my feelings. And I appreciate that because I knew that I'm not walking the Spirit. The Bible says that if you love his law, nothing shall offend you. Amen and amen. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Think of that. You yield it. You give in. You yield your members to unrighteousness unto sin. That's something that you desire. People don't end up in sin. You don't slip into sin, man. You don't do that. You desire it. It's in your deepest desires when you end up in sin. And you go, oh my. Who gave in? Who gave in to the temptation? God or you? Who gave in to be strifeful and full of bitterness? Who gave in to that? Was it God or was it you? When you strive with people, is it God striving with people or is it you? It's probably you. Let's be honest. It's what the Word of God says. Word of God says that it's you. Read verse 13 again. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I'm going to say it again. Your members are either instruments of righteousness unto God or they're unto sin. There's no mixing. Let me help you out, lost person. Your members do not do righteousness. Is God pleased with the sinner? No. God says there's none that seek after him. There's none that doeth good. Is God smiling upon the sinner? God has out the cross for the sinner. God loves the sinner. But he's angry. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And that's what it's speaking of here, that God has circumcised you out. Sin shall not have dominion over you. But what happens? Ye chase after the flesh. You follow your flesh. That's what you do.
Right.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Hey, Jesus Christ spoke of this in Matthew 6, verse 24, saying that you either serve the one or despise the other. His servants are to whom ye obey. I'll read that, start it again. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Lost person, you're yielding yourself sin unto death. That's what it is. You sin, and it's going to lead to death. Right. Saved person, it's either you're yielding yourself sin unto death, and God says he'll kill you for it eventually. We'll read that verse. Or you walk in the Spirit, and it's unto life. There's two things. You either see the works of the flesh, or you see the fruit of the Spirit. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Hallelujah. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. They're made free at the cross. There was something great that was done for the lost person. A circumcision made without hands. God made, it speaks of in Ephesians, that there is twain. There's enmity between the two, the carnal mind and the promises of God. And at the cross, God made twain to be one new man. That's what God did for a lost person. Hallelujah. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. That's pretty unpleasant because you know what you did in a lost state. You know the effort that you put into sin. You know the sleepless nights you put into sin. You know how many times you put in effort to follow after your sin. And man, I got to get up early in the morning, but it doesn't bother me if I'm in sin. I'll get an hour of sleep and go to work. It wouldn't bother me at all. But oh boy, when you get to study in your Bible and think about maybe I should pray for a lost person, maybe I should pray for my own self and pray for other people. I really need 8 hours of sleep tonight. I'm telling you. My neck's been really hurting me lately. I'm like really sore. And I know if I don't get my sleep, I'm going to be sore at work tomorrow. Work of the flesh. Amen and amen. For when, verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Look at that. That's a split between the two. John Mark, that's a dichotomy between the two. You have a little dichotomy. You have, when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. That almost seems like a miracle. When you were the servant of sin, when you were lost, you were free from righteousness. But that's what God's done for the saved person. God made them a servant of righteousness and they're free from sin. But what does the saved person do? The saved person says, I love my flesh. And what does the Bible say? I despise God. I despise God. So I'm going to follow after my flesh. I'm going to make provision for the flesh. That's why it says make no provision for the flesh. That's why it says that. You're not to make provision for the flesh. That's the only way. God's done a miracle for you. God's changed everything. I mean, the Psalms are so full of the miracle of what God's done for you. And you make provision. And you make provision because it's your intent. It's your desire. You end up with all these awful. Why would God put somebody that's walking in the Spirit through all internal turmoil and weird emotions and all this stuff? No, God would never do that. That's not what the Bible says. It says it comes with peace and assurance. You may not have every moment full of joy, but you'll have peace and assurance. So here's a good litmus test. Oh, I'm feeling all awful and this is all terrible. Where are you at right now? Are you after the flesh or are you in the Spirit? That's a pretty good litmus test. That's something to consider. 21. I've said it before, and now the Apostle Paul is going to say it. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? None. None. Zero fruit. No fruit as a lost person. No fruit in your seeking. No fruit in your searching after God. You can get up real early. The Psalms say that God gives sleep to the righteous. You can get yourself up real early and seek after God, and you can stay up late and seek after God. But God said that he's a God that's willing to be nigh. He's willing to save those that are afar off. God did. Beyond explanation, God did for the sinner. Beyond even words, God did for the sinner. And what does the sinner do? I don't believe him. I don't believe him. I don't want to repent. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. I'm going to look real quick back. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to go back to Galatians 5. I'm not seeing it. But it says it's to death. It's to die. You follow after those things. You follow after the flesh. It is to death. That's what God will work in the saved person's life. God will work death in your life. God will even go so far as to kill your flesh. That's what God will do to you. If you want to do that, you will tempt God, and God will work in you. God says, without faith or without works, there is no faith. And God's going to do a work in you if you're not going to. God will do the work of killing you. God will slowly work that in your body, and you're just going to die. And you'll think, oh man, I'm here in heaven because God had to do a work in me because I wouldn't do a work. That's what God will do for you.
That's right.
Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's the other alternative. That's it right there. And become servants to God. Verse 23, let's bring it home, Paul. For the wages of sin is death. You got those wages in your life, saved person? It's death. That's how serious it is. Think of sanctification, to really be separate, to be sanctified unto God. In my mind, that's as serious as to be saved. That's as serious as if God had born you again. Because to really be sanctified and to be separated from the works of the flesh and to be walking in the Spirit is as different as following after mammon and despising God or following your master. That's how different they are. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area of a Christian walk. You're either walking after the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. There is zero middle ground. There's no mixing of the two. You can't come up one day and say, man, I'm kind of feeling a little rough today, and I have kind of probably like 3 or 4 works in the flesh in my life, but I'm serving God, doing as I, no, you're not serving God. There's no mixing of the two. You cannot serve God and have works of the flesh in your life. There's no mixing of the two. Amen. I'll amen myself. Verse 23, let's read it again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. I will turn back to Galatians now. We're going to find it this time. Verse 25. Let's read that again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 25 in Galatians 5. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What did God do for you? He let you live in the Spirit. God circumcised you out of the flesh. He brought you out. And now you're in a place where you can live in the Spirit. But you know what we do? The wages of sin is death. We go after the wages of sin, and God will kill you. And God will wreck your life. That's just what he'll do. He'll tear apart your flesh. It says that the Spirit will even be concerned for our infirmities if we walk in the Spirit. Let's go to Romans 8:1. But you don't walk in the Spirit, so the Spirit probably doesn't feel very concerned for your infirmities. Romans 8. There is, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's a blanket statement. That's saying Christ was crucified, Christ did everything he needed to do, and you were circumcised out. And we say, thank you, God, for that. But we know that we also have an option in this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, what the law did do is it made your sin exceeding sinful. And if you don't see yourself as, if you don't see those works of the flesh in your life, how can God do the work in you? That's what God needs to show you. I had an old preacher tell me probably 8 or 9 years ago. He said, son, you're going to get saved when God shows you what he thinks of you. And you know what God's going to show it? He's going to show it by the scripture. And what does the scripture say? It's going to show your sin exceeding sinful. So when you see your sin in your life everywhere, here, and I see those works plus, I see adultery, I see fornication, envying, wrath, strife, emulation, seditions, heresies. You see those in your life? Maybe God's doing a work in you. Maybe God's trying to help you. Just say, thank you, God. Just get on your knees and say, thank you, God. Hey, Christian, if somebody offends you, say, thank you, God, for showing me what I am. I'm one that walks in the after the flesh. That's what you should do. You should thank God for that. Verse 3, again, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, which walk, where am I at? Which walk, who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Again, if you're after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. For to be carnally minded, oh, let's read the rest of that. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's a complete separation between the two. Things of the Spirit, things of the flesh, no mixing. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You have life and peace in your life by spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. If you're carnally minded, you're not subject to the law of God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Does a lost person please God?
No.
A lost person cannot, does not, will not, never can please God. Never. Ever. Why did Jesus Christ then come? He said, what's the first thing Jesus Christ preached? Repent and believe. Oh man, no, God, I'm going to fix all this stuff up. I'm going to get this right. I'm going to even act like a Christian. I'm going to act like a Christian while walking in the flesh. How? How are you going to get that done?
Being a hypocrite.
That's right. Being a hypocrite, you can. You can walk, Hey, that's good. You can walk in the spirit as a hypocrite, lost person. You can't. You can't. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any doctrinal sense, but you could probably make sense of it in your own mind because you're wicked. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's go to verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Hello, saved person. Is God killing you? But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. God commanded you to mortify the deeds of the body. God commanded you to mortify the deeds of the body. God commanded you to do it. He said, make no provision for the flesh. Are you dying, saved person? Is God doing a work in you because you won't do a work? Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Let's go to John. I thought of this morning. Let's go to John. Let's be spiritual. God thought of this inside of me.
Amen.
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 It's probably true, so you can eat that. Verse 12, but as many as received him, chapter 1.
Forgiven.
Thank you. Ah, Christian in the house. He forgave me. Hallelujah.
You still have to tell me where to go. Before that.
Okay, John 1, verse 12.
Right.
Gospel, yes. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Back to Romans 8, verse 13, or verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Jesus Christ spoke of this, Paul explained it. That's what God's done. God can give. It's talking about the adoption in the next couple of verses, but there's a miracle that Jesus Christ has done for the saved person. And the saved person can reject the work of God. The saved person can rather reject to walk in the Spirit, and they'll have no fruit. And they'll just have the works of the flesh. But they can walk as a hypocrite, sir. A saved person can walk as a hypocrite. A lost person can walk as a hypocrite when they think that they're walking as a saved person. You have no fruit of the flesh, lost person. And if you're walking, if you see the works of the flesh in your life, saved person, you are a hypocrite if you think you're walking in the Spirit.
Would you allow me to say something about that?
Please do.
I hate hypocrisy, but I have to admit I'm a hypocrite.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Why?
No, that's right. You're right. Yes, sir. The Bible says if you're trying to walk or if you're trying to renew yourself day by day, it says, think not more highly of yourselves than you ought. You think yourself is not a hypocrite? I'm not a hypocrite. I'm the most consistent man or woman that's ever lived. I have no hypocrisy in my life. When I walk in the flesh, after the flesh, or in the flesh, I do it consistently.
But you forgot to look behind you in the story that he said.
Right.
Did you hear what he said?
Right. Right. Just look at your works. Look at your works. What are your works? Do you have fruit? No. Romans 8, verse 26. This is what the Spirit does for the saved person. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God does a work for you there. God's doing a work for you right there. Or he's killing you. Or he's killing you and he's cutting you down. Lost person, there's no fruit in your life. Saved person, what's the work God doing in your life? What's he doing for you? It's a good thing to consider. Should I just close in prayer and be done? It's 45.
Close in prayer and be done.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you that we can look at the Word of God and that we can hear the truth. God, I thank you for all the preaching I've got to sit under. God, I thank you for the work that you did for me, my God. I thank you that we can walk in the Spirit. In the name of God, I ask that you bless the rest of this day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.